If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but are none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
It's time for the real BS show to raise its ugly head.
There you go.
We skipped last week.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yeah, it was 4th of July. And
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of just did our things that we did, you know, celebrating.
I don't even remember what I did. Yeah. I don't think I did anything.
You probably had a nice relaxing day on your porch.
Listen to the neighbors blow off fireworks.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. You know, people were just shooting fireworks off every time of the day. I mean, even daylight, and you know, it was going on for days. Which
they like to make noise.
Yeah,
the louder the better.
Yeah, talking about that, you know, there's stoicism. You know,
well, that's not loud.
No, it's keeping it.
You know, I don't even really know for sure what it is. Stoic, being stoic, like not letting anything bother you.
It's recognizing.
It's a way of life, isn't it?
It's a way of life, and I would say it's recognizing that something's there, that somebody else is choosing to do something, but your reaction to it is in your control. So it's a matter of you controlling your reaction to something.
Yeah, without being stupid.
Yeah, because only you can control what you are able to control, and anything outside of that you're not able to.
People's emotions get the best of them.
Oh, sure.
I mean, something happens and boom, it's like an explosion.
Right. I think to kind of like not summarize it completely, I would say the best summaries is not going to the extremes. So you're not getting too angry, or, you know, you recognize that you have anger in something and trying to figure out how you can change it. And there's only so much you can do. And so you don't want to overreact. That's the best way of looking at it, is keeping yourself
life's
in control.
Like a roller coaster. You go up and you go down. And
right.
Try to keep your emotions right in the middle.
Right.
So you don't overreact one way or the other.
I see it too often. If you look at politics, you can get angry real quick. It don't matter what party you're part of. You can get angry at what's going on. And if you step back and realize, at the end of the day, a lot of it's just show. It's pony show. And you just need to keep your emotions in check and not get too angry or emotional about it. And
I just assume everybody's lying.
Oh, that's probably true.
They probably are.
or the truth is they don't know the truth. They don't know what they're doing. They're just saying what people want to hear. I think that's a big part of it that is missing out. And so at that end of the day, most of what people are saying in politics, I use that as an example, they're not speaking the truth. So you can't get your emotions upset about that.
Well, that's like, what was that, the debate they just had.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch it. you know, because I think everyone should. I knew it was just going to be stupid as all get out. Oh, yeah. And Joe, everybody's surprised how dumb Joe Biden, you know, how bad off he is.
Yeah.
He's been that way for 10 years.
Right.
I mean, I guess they've been hiding it or something.
No, the media has been, you know, trying to play for the longest time that he was fine.
There's nothing new. I mean, maybe he's worse now than he was 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
When you put him in front of a teleprompter, he can read the teleprompter. That's the truth.
I don't think he can do that anymore.
No, but I'll say that. But at least I'll give the Democrats an example there. He can read the teleprompter. But when it comes into actual debates, they've kind of sheltered him a lot from that.
Yeah, stick him in the basement and leave him there. Yeah. You know, it's the best policy they could have. You know, he get out there talking on his own, and he's going to get lost.
But it's like this, you know, people can't, you know, you can't get upset about something like this. You realize you can't control it, you know. And so you have to redirect your energy into something more positive. And I think that's what Stoicism kind of does. You're not denying your emotions.
Well, the sad part of this whole thing about the president is, I mean, he's in such bad shape.
Right.
Of course, he has been for a while. But he's the only one that can push the nuclear button.
Yeah.
It all boils right down to him.
Yeah, there is a chain there. There is a chain of command that can deny it, and so it's
I hope so.
But
jeez.
But you know, it's like, you know, we can't get upset about it. We can recognize what we can do to change things. But at the end of the day, if you're letting some of these emotions overtake your life, I think that's the big line there. It's okay to have emotions. It's okay to have anger or frustration or sadness, but it's not. It's about not letting it consume you and completely.
Well, the sad part of it is that 30% of our country is still going to vote for him, thinks he's great and all this.
Oh, sure.
How in the world can you possibly think that? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
He
couldn't get a job at Walmart.
I think that's they're voting against the alternative. That's what they're doing. That's the main
part. It could be. They don't like Trump. So what? I mean, look what you're pushing here. Holy catfish. This guy couldn't work in the delicatessen.
Before the debate, an example of the polls is, you know, I know people are like, oh, the polls, but the polls do have some truth to them. If you look at the polls, Biden was their best bet against Trump. Really, honestly, of the polls they shown, other potential candidates didn't have. Before the debate.
Oh.
Then after the debate, it started changing. You started seeing more people saying, well, Newsom's from California or Whitmire from Michigan might be a better option. And then you got Harris upset that other people were even talking about other people. But she, you three, never would go back to the primaries. And she was the second person to leave, you know, the primaries.
I had as many delegates as she did.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we're dealing with interesting times where now the panic is setting in because they realize what many people with their eyes open were seeing a long time ago about Biden, and now they're seeing, you know. We're seeing interesting times. Now, I'm predicting, this is just me, is you go back to...
Yeah, this isn't financial advice.
No, so no.
Do your own research.
But my theory is this. You remember that you were alive for the 1968 Democratic convention, right?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the riots they were having?
Oh, big time, yeah.
Now,
in Chicago.
What is happening right now that's in the Middle East, that there's a very strong Democrat side that's very pro something in the Middle East that's taken the spotlight for the last year? Bigger than anything else that you've even thought of.
I don't know.
The Israel versus Palestine situation. So you have Democrats that are very pro-Palestine. And then you have Democrats that are very pro-Israel. Obviously, Biden and Trump are pro-Israel. But you have Democrats that are very pro-Palestine. I'm betting that you'll see at the convention a massive protest of pro-Palestinians. And it's going to be like the 1968 Democratic
convention. Well, 68 was awful. They were just clubbing people left and
right. That's what I'm picturing.
Fires and...
Because it's getting there.
It was a total disaster.
If you even paid attention to the news, over the past, you know, year or whatever, there's been how many colleges taken over by pro-Palestinians? And, you know, this is not my edict of supporting either side. I think there should be a two-state solution. That's my personal view. But the point is you got the pro-Palestinians that are just they're getting violent, more and more violent, and you can, it's coming up to the convention. They already talk about them being showing up. So I'm seeing that happening. And then you got the Democrats divided on that. You don't know who's going, you know, there's some that are pro, and then there's some that are anti, you know, more pro-Israel. And
there's so much crap going on. It's just unbelievable.
But that's dividing.
The January 6th thing is still going on. Yeah, yeah. And it's coming to a head here. They're just going to let everybody free and say, oh, we all screwed up, and boom, it's over with.
It's maybe. But see, they're using it as a bargaining chip. So they're using it as a political chess move, in their view.
I mean, even Pelosi admits, well, it's all my fault.
Well, yeah, she did say that. I think I sent that article to you. That, yeah, she admitted to that.
Probably. I mean, you know.
That was a crazy thing. She sat there and says, oh, because basically she should have called the Capitol Police, and she had the duty to call the National Guard. She didn't call them.
Yeah, well, they would. Trump even tried to offer it to them, and they said, no.
Yeah. They thought they had it under control. That's why.
And now they're blaming it all on Trump. I mean, this is ridiculous.
So like, you know, this whole thing, that's why I think, you know, the 1968 convention had a lot going on. I'm seeing a repeat of that because
that was
Vietnam, right?
It was all about Vietnam.
And so this is the because Johnson increased you know, Vietnam.
Oh, then he quit. He didn't even run.
No, he didn't. And see,
I'm out of here.
see, this is where I'm saying is you got Biden, he'll complete his term, I'm betting. And then he will.
I don't think so.
I think so. Here's the problem.
I mean, not because he doesn't want to. He's just because his health isn't going to, it's going down too fast.
I'm actually going to bet that he's going to stay in.
Kind of like Hitler.
He's going to stay in. And then the Democrats are going to try to do the 25th Amendment to remove him. And the funny part is, I'm going to see the Republicans. I'm betting the Republicans will say, no, we're keeping him in there.
Yeah, I would.
Because you don't want the key is, if he drops out, then Harris comes in. I'm thinking he finishes his term and then backs off for the convention. I'm seeing that happening. That's what I'm
thinking. The convention's here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. But he's going to finish his term but let her run. It's going to be too late because you think about the whole, how hard is it to run a campaign that large? You have to like organize all thing. You have to change the tickets. You have to change.
She's a crazy person.
If you heard her speak, that's all you have to say.
Geez, yeah. You heard her laugh. Holy smokes.
Yeah. No, just her talking alone is enough. Yeah. It's such an interesting concept. How she got.
She hasn't a clue what's going on either.
But how she got into all those positions above a DA, you know?
Well, just she was the right color and she was the right. She was a female of the right color.
That's all he had. That was his two things. It had to be what race. She was a different race and she was a different gender. And it's like, to me, like, okay, that's fine and dandy, but does she have the actual abilities behind it? Because she was the worst candidate of all the Democrats. He could have picked Gilbert. Tulsi Gilbert or Garbert or whatever her name is.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah,
that's my choice.
She was a good, excellent. She had been an excellent vice president.
Well, she quit the Democrats, so she's.
Well, yeah, but yeah, well, I don't know. Do you want to go into some Stoic stuff?
Yeah, Stoicism. I mean, who's that guy? Marcus Aurelius. Yeah. He was the emperor. I mean, his biggest thing was he couldn't find a replacement for himself.
Right.
You know, he was looking around for, and his son was an idiot. Yes. And,
He was one of the five good emperors.
Oh, he was a smart guy, but I mean, he kept his emotions under control, I guess you could say, or something like that. I mean,
especially when he had enemies at the gate, because we have to go back into history. He was on the campaign against the Germanic tribes, north and east of him, and he was battling all the time, while dealing with internal crisis. And we have to remember the Roman emperors have been assassinated many times.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's kind of like the mafia, you know, they keep shooting each other.
Yeah, so, you know, it was the guards, your own guards would sometimes kill you if you didn't, you know. But so he had a tough position to be in. I mean, of course, yeah, sure, the peasants had way tougher, but him had a high death rate. There was very little. They just retired out into their wood, you know, their farm, you know. Only, I think, three emperors did that. The rest got killed, you know, or died, you know, in a horrible way.
Well, there were some pretty crazy emperors, too, though.
But that's what I'm saying is he came out with a good – he followed the Greek Stoic philosophy, and it kept him straight and narrow. And many people, historians, and even Romans at the time, his contemporaries, wrote how calm and collected he was – at making decisions, and he made good decisions and took advice from what was around him. So it, I think that's a, he's someone good to emulate, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, him and Seneca, I don't know where he comes
Seneca
from.
Was good, too. Yeah, he's a Roman. Yeah.
Was he a Roman?
Yeah.
I thought he was Greek.
Yeah, let me look it up real quick. Yeah, but yeah.
Who was that other? Epictetus?
Epictetus, yeah, he was
Greek. Silence is golden.
Right.
That was his big deal.
Right.
Just keep your mouth shut. You got two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Right. Yeah.
That's what somebody told me before I went in the army, and I stuck to
it. Truth. Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut.
Seneca, yeah, he was a Roman. Yeah. He's from Rome. But Epictetus, I believe Epictetus. He was a Greek. Yeah, he believed in staying calm. Yes.
Yeah.
Epictetus is one of my favorites too. He has a lot of.
Well, it's hard to stay calm when things happen to you, and
it's natural.
Things was always I jump the gun. You know, I try to fix something before, instead of just taking some time and letting it sink in, and taking some time to figure out what to do.
Right, to process it. Yeah.
And me, I just have to jump right in. I made a lot of mistakes. You know, of course everybody does.
Right.
But. It took me a lot longer to figure things out than most folks.
That's why at the beginning...
That I got everything figured out.
No. But see, this is where, you know, people will say, no one has it figured out. And I disagree with it. I think you, in your years, have gained wisdom to handle things that in your younger years you would handle differently. And I think that is where the lesson should be learned is, you know, I've learned my lessons in life too by watching other people and making my own mistakes and choices. And, you know, I recognize my own agency in doing all the things I did, but I also seen all the stupid things other people did and said, I'm not doing that. And I think that was a good guideline for me to see and pay attention to other people's mistakes and realize where they might have failed. And without judgment, you know, heck, you know, people make wrong choices sometimes. And it's just you go down the wrong path and boom, it can hit you hard. So, you know, we're all that far from that.
One of the things that, you know, in my earlier years, let's say as when I was playing music and all this and that, you know, I'd drink like everybody else pretty much. And then I got into this the sound business and started to do work for... Right. A lot of national acts and entertainment people, and started to see how they functioned behind the scenes.
Right.
And alcohol was a biggie.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, Glenn Campbell and just on and on. These people just drank like crazy. And it was so stupid to me. And I'm thinking, this is the dumbest thing I could be possibly doing. And I quit, boom. And it wasn't hard to do. I just quit. Right. I didn't like it that much anyway.
Do you think, you know, even with all the fame and fortune they might have had, that they were trying to numb the pain they had? Because, I mean, imagine touring all the time. You never get to relax, you know?
Well, they all had their own problems and things. Right. And some people handled pretty good, but most of them didn't. And
you had to be kind of nutty to be a musician like that and go around.
Well, you know, and then, I don't know, you just... It's like the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, and most of them figured that was the case. You look at
Ozzy Osbourne, for instance. I mean, geez, I mean, how's that guy alive? Or Keith Richards, you know, like how's he alive after all those years of drug abuse? And you know, some people just, and then you see young guys die from drug abuse, and it's so rough to see that because they had such great potential. You know,
there's a lot of those too. Yeah,
it seems like a snail trail. You know how a snail moves on the ground, leaves a slime behind. It's the musicians that have all died.
When you look at all these national acts and performers and whatnot, and you think, you know, you see them on stage and they look so wonderful, but outside of that, they're total jerks, and you'd never guess it. You'd never ever guess it.
Right,
and they're just complete idiots. I mean. And the more you see that, the more, you know, it's like, holy smokes, you know, what in the world?
Which goes back to, I can think of only maybe a handful of musicians I can say that are truly, absolutely grateful for the fact that they are even famous. And you, those are the ones that it's like, wow, they're actually kind and gentle, and they treat their fans well. Even though you imagine everywhere you go, you're going to be hounded by fans, and it kind of sucks. But you,
well,
that's
what
part
you
of the
see,
gig.
You know, what you see on TV or on right. stage and everything.
That's
don't,
fake.
Don't believe
right.
any of
oh,
it.
Oh, sure.
It's just,
that's what I'm saying. There's a handful. I can know for a fact. I've met a few of them, and I never, you know, like they were in like. Events that we were at, and I just treat them like another human being. I'm not going to fan, you know, yeah. worship them or anything, but you can see them how they act around with other people. And there's only so many people that can do that. Most of the famous people out there, in my opinion, can't handle the fame. They like the benefits of it, but the negative is, you know, dealing with all the fans, you know, that can be annoying.
Well, their personal life versus
it's
their
a mess.
Public
yeah.
life
oh, yeah.
is two different things, and they usually
don't mesh. Yeah.
Yeah. Beat heads against each other. And
it's the truth. You know, I agree with you.
It's just like
you look at their relationships, for instance. You know, they go through, they change their relationships like they change underwear, and that tells you there's, and it tells you there's some quite turmoil going on there. You know, someone that's been like, you look at some of them, they've been divorced like how many times? You know, like countless oh, yeah. times, and it's just the there's a, it doesn't mesh well. You know, I can't imagine, like, you look at childhood actors. We've done shown on that before where childhood actors, you know, they get real messed up from that experience. They never get to experience a childhood, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's all the money and fame and fortune and everything.
Right.
Just totally changes. I mean, we can't even imagine what it's like, you know, because it never happened to us.
Right.
But boy, when you stand back and look at these people, whoo. And the secret is not to worship them, you know?
No,
I mean,
absolutely not, no.
Say, you got a good voice, you know, but after that, forget it.
Right.
You know, it's just,
they're usually their lies.
I don't want
life.
No part of you. Yeah, it's, but, yeah, the Stoic thing, you know, to me, in this late years of my life and everything, I just kind of, it's really caught my attention, and it makes a lot of sense to me,
right.
you know, not to get all riled up and not to, you know, not to worry about things you can't do anything about, you know.
Right.
You have to make that distinction. You gotta...
It's not an easy path to follow. It's an ideal that I think is noble to follow, but it's hard to implement 100%. It's hard to completely do it 100%.
Yeah, so if you can't do anything about it, then what do you do?
Right.
You know, well, it's pretty hard to do nothing.
Right.
That's not
right,
easy.
Right. I mean... So, for instance, you know, you have something going wrong with your house, you know, there is something you can do with that. But if it's, let's say...
Well, just don't let it get you all riled
right.
up, you know,
right.
and just back off and take a logical look at things and say, okay, this first, that second. And
I just think that there's a misconception, too, with Stoicism. You see a lot of people that are very anti-Stoicism because they think it means shutting off your emotions. And I think that's completely not what it is. It's just it's recognizing there are successes to everything, and you don't want Stoicism is opposite of hedonism. Hedonism is just like enjoying whatever you want, and it's the goal's happiness only, and but happiness is fleeting in reality. It's just, you know, momentary. Whereas Stoicism is more about joy, finding joy in yourself instead of happiness. And so I think that's a big counter there. Is when you find the joy, which is more stable, flat line of being content with what you can do and what you have. And then, yes, there's nothing wrong with achieving more, but you're not going to like be driven by any of these remote desires. You're going to be looking at yourself, how you can improve, how you can learn. You know, no one can take your knowledge. They can take your possessions. They can take, you know, your property, but they can't take your knowledge, unless they kill you, of course. But that's kind of what Stoicism is about. It's about enlightening yourself to fulfill your inner potential. And I think that's where a lot of people misunderstand what it is completely, thinking it's about shutting your emotions off like a valve. And that's not true. It's just not letting these emotions control you. Like a car being driven down the yeah. road, you know, it's like road rage is not good. A Stoic could be against road rage, you know? And so that applies to me. Sometimes I can get frustrated behind the wheel. You know, I was telling you before about someone going slow, 20 miles per hour in a 55. And I'm like, oh, come on, you know, getting all upset that they're moving slow. Then I'll catch myself and realize Seth, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
You know, you're acting like a fool. You know,
for a good spot and pass them, you know.
Right, yeah. I mean, just let it behind you, you know. Like, or someone, I have sometimes my father, I love him to death, but he gets mad when people pass him. I'm like, you're going the speed limit. If they want to, what if they're going to the hospital? My stomach comes out of me. I'm like, well, what if they're going to the hospital? You don't know. They could be racing to, you know, there's an accident and their mother or father's dying, or their sibling or their daughter or son is dying, and you don't know why they're speeding. Just they passed you, they're ahead of you. It's no longer a problem, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, so that's kind of that mentality, I guess. And I'm not perfect in it, I'll admit it. You know, I get frustrated with things.
Well, one of the things that I've, in this later stage of my life and everything, is I gotta be thankful for all the, that I'm still in good health, you know?
Right.
You know, because there's so many of my friends, famous people too. They're all dying off.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're more healthier than most people your age. I'm going to say you're probably like the top 5%. You think about it.
I don't know. I sit down on the couch, I stretch out, and I say, you know what? Everything's working fine.
Right. Right.
Doctor asked me, well, how you doing? Well, I say I'm getting older and uglier, but you know, other than that, everything's working. So,
right. I mean, you're splitting wood. You're active. You know, you're out there doing things, and most people are couch potatoes. So, right now, you're miles above them.
That's,
you know,
the way. I still, even in the summertime when it's supposed to be slow,
right?
I'm still getting called every week
and every weekend, right?
Delivering firewood. And when people have any kind of issue at all, I say, well, you don't need to do this, you know. I don't need to sell you wood.
Right.
I'm not here to push wood.
Right.
Period, you know. Anything at all is just let me know. We'll do it another day or not do it at all. I don't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me. And I don't know. It's the way I got to look at it. And it's true, because if I sell some, then I got to replace it.
Right.
So there's more work, you know. It's just...
Yeah, I think
it's crazy. I never thought
dealing with the general public could be interesting too, because you'll get some people that, you know, that's a true test on your soul.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because I worked in retail, and it's way different than what I do now. I deal with business to business, for instance. I don't deal with the general public, but the general public can be very entitled sometimes.
Oh yeah.
And dealing with those,
you never know what's coming at you.
Yeah, and to me, I don't deal well with entitled people. I recognize that. You're not owed anything on this earth. Nothing. Nothing's owed to you. You have to earn it. That's my view.
Yeah.
And
that goes both ways.
It
though,
does.
Too,
it does.
You know?
You have to work for it. And so to me, like, you know, when you deal with someone that's entitled, I'm not so nice nowadays. That's where I probably should work on that a little bit more, being a little bit more polite. But yeah. That's my truth of matter there.
It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you want is fine with me.
Right.
You know, within limits here.
Right.
And that's the way it is. And if it doesn't work for you, or if it doesn't work for me, it ain't going to work.
Right.
Period.
Right.
That's it. See ya.
Right. I find that, you know, especially after COVID, people became much more less patient and entitled, and it's across all generations. It's like people have lost their patience in this world, and that's interesting.
Well, you lose your patience, you lose your mind, and you lose your life eventually.
That's the truth, you know. And time's fleeting, you
maybe,
know.
Maybe quicker than you would imagining, you know. I mean,
time is fleeting too. It's like, you know, you think about it, how short, even from birth to, like, let's say someone's like, you can live to 90. 90 years is a short time. It's a blip in the grand scheme of things.
Well, when you're 89, you say, oh.
Yeah, I mean, you look back and time just flew by. What happened?
Yeah,
you
right. Know? Exactly.
I'm sure that's what it feels like to me. I'm 41 years old, and I look back, and my son's going to be 18 soon, very soon. And I'm sitting there thinking, 18 years, where'd it go? He was a baby yesterday. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, you know.
I know, it's you know. What do you do? You can't do anything.
No.
You know, just gotta.
I just tried my best. You know,
accept it and try to stay healthy, I guess. And I don't know. I'm to the point now that if I want a donut, I'm gonna get one.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Or a pizza, or you know, something that might not be all that great for you.
I had
a bowl of ice cream. Boom! I'm gonna do it.
I had that conversation with my mother, because she was criticizing my dad once in a while getting, let's say, a cheeseburger. I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with him getting a cheeseburger once a week. You know, I mean, that's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, well, just a cheeseburger.
Now, if you had three a day.
That's different.
For 3 weeks in a row, you might, you know, you might run into a problem.
Right.
I don't know. It's
got to just have, you know.
I kind of let my body tell me what it wants, you know,
right.
and just try to be casual about it, you know, and just don't overdo anything. Too much of anything's not good for you.
No, it's true. Too much of oxygen is bad.
Yeah, don't take in too much oxygen. So what do we got next here?
Oh, we got a laundry list of things. We got 11 things about Stoicism.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I'm going to pay attention because maybe I can learn something too, which is, I don't know why, but why not?
It's 11 things you should quietly eliminate from your life in 2024.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 2000, that's now.
Yeah, it's right now. So you have six months.
Yeah, so you got 6 months to accomplish what this guy's going to tell us. Okay, I better pay attention. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
Get ready for an amazing adventure. First point, when dealing with people who hurt you, there's no need to explain yourself to those who cause you pain. There's no need to complain, argue, or have a confrontation over someone's bad attitude. If someone has made decisions that disrespected and hurt you, even if they were someone you thought was a perfect friend, it's better to move on without seeking justifications. Stay calm and rational, focusing on your own growth. There may come a time when that person will need you and seek your support. In that moment, simply saying no is enough. And if you need to explain your reasons, do so. If this person failed to show character and broke your trust, you're not obligated to help them. So, there's no need to get into conflicts or fights. The best course is to quietly remove that person from your life, as time will show the consequences of their actions. Focus on taking care of yourself and let the future reveal what's best for both of you. When we allow ourselves to move forward without the need to explain or justify our choices, we are showing deep respect for ourselves and our boundaries. It's important to remember that we're not obligated to associate with people who harm us or fail to value use. Each of us deserves to be treated with respect and appreciated for who we truly are. Thus, by choosing to quietly remove those who hurt us from our lives, we're making a brave decision for our emotional well-being and personal growth, allowing us to move towards a more authentic and fulfilling life. Second point, unnecessary goals. There will be times when you realize the importance of making choices, acting in a certain way, or staying true to your own path. Sometimes you'll need to abandon certain goals to prioritize the path that aligns best with your essence. It's completely normal for this to happen, as we don't always achieve everything we plan. And at times it's necessary to give up some things in favor of others. However, it's important to silently eliminate these unnecessary goals without broadcasting your moves to the whole world. Don't leave clues or loose information, as this could reveal your main strategy. Be smarter in this process, quietly removing less important goals and making gradual changes in your life. As the cards are laid out on the table, always proceed with discretion, protecting your plans, and allowing your decisions to be guided by authenticity, seeking the path most aligned with who you are. Third point, relationships, be it friendship or romance. It's crucial not to share intimate details or vent to others about the reasons behind the end of a friendship or relationship. The intimacy shared belongs only to you and the other person involved, and others don't need to know the reasons. Nobody has the right to know about fights or terrible situations, as this can only lead to gossip and make the situation more complicated. If you feel the need to talk, have a conversation with yourself and reflect on what happened. the urge to share might indicate that there are still unhealed wounds. Therefore, regardless of the situation, the appropriate action is to analyze these behaviors quietly, without sharing with others. If you have a problematic relationship in your life, it's important to remove it without broadcasting the news to other people. Keeping these matters private and dealing with the issues internally will aid in the acceptance and healing process. Preserve the privacy and dignity of all parties involved and take care of your emotional well-being with wisdom and discretion. Fourth point, during periods of tension, avoid raising your voice in front of others and control your display of excessive frustration or anger. If you're upset, redirect that feeling towards actions that yield beneficial results. Use that energy as a driving force to advance your life goals and train your body to handle stress. Contain your emotions, reflect on them, and redirect the accumulated energy into something that strengthens you. However, proceed with caution and discretion, as losing control can expose vulnerabilities during tense moments. Aim to dissipate this tension discreetly by resolving issues, fulfilling responsibilities, and using reasoning as your ally. Avoid broadcasting your difficulties. Instead, value what and who is already in your life, cultivating gratitude. Find a way to relieve emotional pressure quietly, seeking internal balance and healthier approaches to facing challenges. If you've made it this far, I ask that you leave a comment to show that you're truly seeking change. Go ahead, leave a like and subscribe for more content like this. Let's continue. Fifth point, avoid sharing your judgments with others about so-and-so. In fact, you shouldn't even harbor such opinions in your consciousness. Seriously consider what image you are projecting when you speak ill of someone. You could have an interesting dialogue or enrich the conversation, but instead choose to spoil the atmosphere just to vent your negativity about that person. Please don't do that. Don't go around declaring who you like or dislike. Learn to be diplomatic. If you don't like someone, it's possible to distance yourself from them or try to maintain a tolerable coexistence and always act intelligently. If there's a problem with that person, try to talk, dialogue, and seek a consensus. However, these opinions and judgments you have about others should be immediately discarded. As mentioned before, no matter if you like or dislike someone, always act diplomatically, showing yourself capable of adapting to the environment, changing, and interacting regardless of differences with other people. Maintain a respectful and empathetic posture in your interactions, and this will contribute to a more harmonious environment and healthier relationships with others. Sixth point. Avoid constantly comparing yourself to others. Each person has their own path, achievements, and successes that should be valued without reference to others. The harmful habit of comparing our lives to others can negatively impact our emotional well-being and hinder our personal growth. Moreover, it lowers our self-esteem, as we risk falling into the trap of unfavorable comparison, focusing on what we think we lack instead of recognizing our own strengths and accomplishments. When we constantly compare ourselves to others, we lose sight of our own goals and desires. We get distracted from what truly matters and focus on what we think we should have or achieve based on others' standards. This prevents us from moving forward on our own journey and achieving our individual goals. By eliminating comparison, we can cultivate gratitude for our own circumstances and celebrate our own progress and growth. Remember that each person has their own unique way and individual circumstances, and comparing yourself to others is neither fair nor healthy. Each of us has different strengths, challenges, and life paths. Instead of comparing ourselves to others, it is more productive to focus on our own learning and personal development. Seventh point, conscious use of social media. Imagine for a moment that your life is a book filled with fascinating stories, learnings, and adventures. Now, think of social media as a library where millions of other stories are shared every second. Exciting, right? But here lies a subtle danger: constant comparison. As we flip through the glossy pages of these digital stories, we often find ourselves comparing our most challenging chapters with the highlight moments of others. This comparison, often unfair and unrealistic, can lead us into a cycle of dissatisfaction and envy. See how this can be harmful. With this in mind, it's essential to learn to limit our consumption of these digital stories. Imagine deciding to visit this digital library with a clear purpose. You enter, look for exactly what you need, whether it's connection, inspiration, or information, and then leave, returning to the reality of your own book, the book of your life. But how do you do this in practice? Start by defining specific times of the day to check your social media instead of getting lost in it at every moment, be it during breakfast, a break at work, or at the end of the day. This helps create a structure that prevents social media from dominating your time and thoughts. Another effective strategy is to question the intention behind each online interaction. Ask yourself, am I seeking something constructive here, or just killing time? This reflection can help differentiate productive use from aimless, passive consumption. Moreover, it's crucial to recognize the signs that social media is negatively impacting your mood or self-esteem. If you find yourself feeling down after using these platforms, it might be time to take a break. Use this time to reconnect with activities that bring joy and satisfaction in the real world, like reading a book, engaging in a hobby, or simply enjoying nature. By adopting these practices, you not only protect your mental health, but also rediscover the beauty of your own story without the constant need for comparison with others' stories. Remember, each of us has a unique path to walk, filled with highs and lows, triumphs and challenges, and that's exactly what makes each story, including yours, so valuable and unique. And so, as we bid farewell to this topic, I invite you to reflect on how you can start writing the next chapter of your story today, with less influence from the digital world and more focus on what truly matters in your life. Let's embark on this journey of self-discovery and growth together. Take charge of your life with the wisdom of history's greatest philosophers. Stoicism in the 21st century is your guide to resilience, well-being, and prosperity. Turn challenges into triumphs, stress into strength, uncertainty into clarity. Click now on the link in the pinned comment and begin your Stoic journey to a life of success and fulfillment. Get your ebook today. 8th point, the pursuit of external approval. We live in a world where, often, a person's worth seems to be tied to others' perceptions. But today, I invite you to explore the liberation that comes from breaking free from this incessant search for approval. Imagine yourself on a stage, under the spotlight. Around you, a crowd of expectant faces, each with an opinion on how you should act, speak, and be. Can you see how suffocating this can be? Now, visualize yourself stepping off that stage and entering a peaceful and serene space, a place where the only opinion that truly matters is your own. This metaphor illustrates the importance of recognizing and valuing your own inner voice above the external noise. When we base our actions and decisions on the quest for approval, we drift away from who we truly are and what we genuinely desire. It's like constantly trying to wear an outfit that doesn't fit, just to please others. Now think about the times when you felt most fulfilled and content. They were probably moments when you were aligned with your own values and beliefs, regardless of what others thought or expected. This is the essence of living authentically. But how can we practice this in our daily lives? It starts with small steps. For instance, the next time you're about to make a decision, ask yourself, am I doing this because I truly want to, or because it's what others expect of me? Learn to trust your intuition and recognize your own desires and needs. Another powerful practice is strengthening your self-esteem. Value your qualities, celebrate your achievements, and learn from your mistakes. Remember, self-acceptance is an ongoing process, and every small victory counts. And finally, cultivate relationships that support and encourage you to be your best self. Surround yourself with people who respect your individuality and encourage you to express your true essence. By freeing ourselves from the need for external approval, we open the doors to a more authentic and rewarding path. It's a path that allows us to be the true protagonists of our lives, writing our own stories with the ink of authenticity and courage. And with that, we conclude this second topic, hoping it serves as an invitation to reflect on how you can live a more authentic life, true to yourself, away from the shadows of others' approval. Ninth point, the way we handle our relationships, whether in friendship or love. Relationships are like mirrors, reflecting various facets of our lives, and they bring experiences that shape who we are. But there's a delicate line here, the line of privacy and discretion. Think of a relationship as a secret garden, a place where you nurture emotions, dreams, and special moments. This garden is sacred, a space that deserves respect and care. When a relationship ends, whether a friendship or a romance, it's natural to feel pain, confusion, and a need to process what happened. However, it's essential to remember that the details of this garden, this shared story, belong only to you and the other person involved. By choosing not to divulge intimate details or reasons for the breakup, you're not only preserving the dignity of both parties, but also protecting your own heart. Sharing this information with others can open doors to misunderstandings, judgments, and worse, gossip. This doesn't contribute to healing. Rather, it can prolong the pain and create a cycle of negativity. So, how can we deal with the end of a relationship healthily? First, it's crucial to give yourself time and space to heal. Allow yourself to feel the emotions, but do so introspectively. If necessary, seek the support of a mental health professional, someone who can provide objective guidance and support. Second, cultivate the habit of personal reflection. Instead of seeking external validation or comfort, turn inward. Ask yourself what you've learned from this relationship and how you can use those lessons to grow. Every relationship, even those that end, brings valuable lessons. Finally, remember that maintaining discretion and privacy is a sign of maturity and respect, not just for the other person, but for yourself. As you close a chapter in your life, do so with grace and dignity, knowing that each experience prepares you for what's to come. And with that, we conclude this third point, hoping it sheds light and perspective on how to face the end of relationships with wisdom and respect, maintaining the dignity and privacy you and the other person deserve. Tenth point, letting go of unrealistic expectations. This is an invitation to an internal journey where we'll explore how our expectations can shape and sometimes distort our perception of reality. Let's start with a metaphor. Imagine your life as a grand adventure across a vast ocean. Each expectation is like a sail on your boat, helping to propel you towards your dreams and goals. However, when these sails are too large, when our expectations become unrealistic, they can steer us off course, leading us into turbulent waters of disappointment and dissatisfaction. Unrealistic expectations are like maps promising treasures that don't exist. They make us chase ideals of perfection in ourselves, others, and the situations we experience. But the question we should ask is, are these ideals truly ours, or have they been imposed by external influences like society, culture, or even the media? To begin detaching from these expectations, we first need to recognize them. This requires honesty and introspection. Ask yourself, do these expectations lift me up or weigh me down? Do they reflect who I truly am and what I value? The next step is practicing acceptance. Acceptance of who you are, where you are in your journey, and the circumstances you can't control. This doesn't mean giving up on your dreams, but rather recognizing and appreciating the process of getting there, with all its imperfections and challenges. Furthermore, it's crucial to learn to set realistic and achievable goals. Goals that resonate with your true essence and not with an idolized image of success. This also involves celebrating the small victories along the way, acknowledging that each step, no matter how small, is valuable progress. Finally, remember that the journey is as important as the destination. By letting go of unrealistic expectations, you allow life to flow more naturally and peacefully, opening up space for surprises and joys that couldn't be planned. And with that, we conclude this fourth point, hoping it inspires you to navigate life with sails adjusted to reality, appreciating the beauty of the journey, with all its twists and turns and discoveries. 11th point. Now entering a territory often overlooked in our daily interactions, but which has a significant impact on our well-being and the relationships we cultivate, participation in gossip and the spread of negativity. In this segment, we'll explore how choosing to distance ourselves from these behaviors can not only improve our state of mind, but also enrich the quality of our relationships. Imagine every word we speak as a seed we plant in the garden of our lives and the lives of others. When we choose words of support, encouragement, and positivity, we plant seeds of kindness and understanding. Conversely, when we engage in gossip or negative talk, we're planting weeds of misunderstandings, distrust, and conflict. Participating in gossip may seem harmless or even a form of social connection. But in reality, it's a two-way street that leads to disrespect and devaluing others and ourselves. Moreover, by focusing on negativity, we feed a mindset that obscures our ability to see the good and positive around us. So, how can we veer off this road and choose a more positive path? First, it's important to be aware of the conversations we partake in. When a dialogue begins to veer into gossip or unnecessary criticism, try gently changing the subject or highlighting something positive about the person or situation in question. Additionally, practice empathy. Before speaking or sharing something about someone, ask yourself, "Would I want this to be said about me?" This simple question can be a powerful guide to keeping our conversations respectful and constructive. Another important step is to cultivate a positive environment around you. Surround yourself with people who also value positivity and authenticity in interactions. Together, you can create a culture of mutual respect and support. Lastly, remember that change starts with you. By choosing not to partake in gossip and negativity, you're not only protecting your own integrity, but also setting an example for others. By adopting these principles in our lives, we can cultivate a more positive, empathetic, and resilient mindset, contributing to more genuine personal growth and more meaningful interpersonal relationships.
Hey, it's the Real BS Show. Hope that helped everybody a little bit.
Helping out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you think about it, and then about an hour later, you forgot everything you heard.
Right. But you always can come back.
Yeah. Well, hopefully through osmosis, some of it might stick.
Yeah, just practice, you know, over time. Start small, work big.
Some of those, one guy, Epictetus, I think, silence is golden.
Yeah.
And that one stuck with me for years, especially in the Army.
Right, but that's not easy, you know. Because sometimes you want to say something and it's not appropriate, you know.
Got to run your mouth. Yeah. Get yourself in trouble.
What you just said there about the Army is the truth. I was told to keep my mouth shut, and I listened to that, and I was a quiet person, shy. People think I'm still shy for the most part with people, but
It's best to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Let them guess how stupid you are.
Yeah, I know.
Why open your mouth and remove all the doubt, you know?
I also found that, you know, this is like talking about judgment of people. Like, when they're telling you stuff, you just listen and don't say anything to them. Don't judge what they're doing. Don't judge what they're saying. And people are more willing to talk to you about things that they normally wouldn't. Whereas if you try to throw in an advice here and there, they get shut off on it. And naturally, naturally you want to say something to them. Like, you know, you have this experience and you kind of want to share that experience, and you have to shut that down sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not easy, because sometimes someone's going down a path and it's like, whoa, that's not good. You know, it's really dangerous. And you kind of have to back off and just, gently question them in a way. And that's not easy. Because I have, you know, nieces and stuff, and sometimes I'm like, no, don't do that. You're going to get, you know, this could end, XYZ could happen. And I just had to shut my mouth, just let them
learn the way you did.
Yeah. Because if you sit there and judge them, they'll get, not just them, but people, they get pissed off.
Speaking of all that, it's been hot this year.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
I mean, even yesterday, I think it was hot right up till the storm came through.
Right.
Wow. It's been like 90 degrees or better every day, and the humidity just bone crunching. I mean, I've had to break down and go buy an air conditioner.
Right, right. Well, even the rabbits are like hiding in the shade. They're outside of the nest and stuff, and they're out in the shade underneath trees and stuff, and just they're out of the heat. You know, it's like crazy how hot it's been.
Wow.
And it's been raining so much, too. You know, you can't, you know, you think about, it's the second rainiest of the year since all records have been kept in Pennsylvania for 160-some years. I mean, it's just been rain and hot and rain and hot and rain and hot. That's all it's been.
Well, I noticed the humidity in my house. If I get the humidity down to 50% or below, it's almost feels chilly.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But when it's up around 75 or 76 or something, it's very uncomfortable.
Oh, it's the truth. It's the truth. I found that as well. Like inside the house, I try to keep it a little bit cooler at night. And it's like a battery keeps the household cool during the day. And I found that method to work great. And I don't open the windows or anything. That lets in the humidity really bad, you know, especially when it's been like 80 or 90% humidity and it just sticks. You know, everything just sticks.
Humidity's bad. It really does make a difference. Ooh.
But no, I agree with you. It's been super hot. And I go outside sometimes just to get that hit me in the face kind of feeling of the heat hitting you. It's kind of like in the South, you know, people in the South don't go outside.
No.
They go from AC to AC, and I feel like we're getting that way a little bit up here in the summer.
Yeah, it's sneaking north.
Yeah. You know, Europe's suffering right now. They're getting, like, huge temperatures over there. It's like 95, you know, high humidities, and none of them have AC.
Wow.
There are very few people in Europe have AC. And so now people are trying to push to get AC put into their places. It's shocking to me they never did. You know, they just open their windows at night and let their cool air come in and then shut their windows during the day and think that was okay. And now they're finding out that's not the best way of doing things. So,
So what do we got next on the schedule?
You know, we got, you know, two more things left. We got feeling sad. These powerful quotes will lift your spirits. And that's, you know, some quotes to help you, you know, combat sadness, you know, kind of redirect you. Not kill it off, you know, but kind of redirect you into a more positive outlook. Because negative is okay to have, but you just don't want to be in it. You know, you don't want it to consume you. So I think
it's pretty easy to do nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
It seems that way. All right. Well, let's listen to another episode here. See what happens.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Wisdom X. If you're feeling sad today, I've got something special just for you. We all have those days when life feels a bit heavy, but remember, it's okay to feel that way. Sometimes, all we need is a little reminder that things will get better. So here are some of my favorite quotes to lift your spirits and bring a little light into your day. First up, we have a quote from Rumi. The wound is the place where the light enters you. Remember, even in our darkest times, there is always room for healing and growth. Here's another one from Helen Keller. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. This quote reminds us that while pain is a part of life, so is resilience and strength. Albert Camus once said, "In the depth of winter, I finally learned that within me there lay an invincible summer." This quote is a beautiful reminder that no matter how cold or dark things may seem, there is always warmth and hope within us. And here's one from Maya Angelou. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. It's a powerful message about the strength of the human spirit. One of my favorites is from Charlie Chaplin. You'll never find a rainbow if you're looking down. It encourages us to keep our heads up and look for the beauty around us, even when times are tough. Let's keep going. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars." This quote teaches us that sometimes we need to face challenges to truly appreciate the good things in life. J.K. Rowling wrote, "Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times, if one only remembers to turn on the light." It's a wonderful reminder to seek out positivity, even when it seems elusive. Here's a profound one from Mahatma Gandhi. In the midst of darkness, light persists. It's a simple yet powerful message about hope and endurance. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts." Every day is a new opportunity to start fresh and find strength within ourselves. And here's something from Victor Hugo. "Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. No matter how tough things get, there is always a new day waiting for us." A quote from Winston Churchill. "If you're going through hell, keep going." It's a straightforward reminder to keep pushing forward, no matter how difficult the journey. I hope these quotes brought a bit of comfort to your day. Remember, it's okay to feel sad, but don't let it consume you. Take things one step at a time and know that you're not alone.
That's right.
This is the Real BS Show.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, you can't guess. I don't know. What else we got on that?
We got one about conquering the day, you know, some stoic rules to conquer the day.
Stoic rules. Yeah, okay, stoic.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of the theme of the show, you know, today is lesson number two. You know, we did a lesson before about it, but kind of just revisiting it. There's some new things out there that, you know, we can share.
I haven't done enough homework, I guess, to understand stoicism or stoicism.
Right. Stoicism, yeah, there's a lot of reading to it. That's the hard part is if you were to buy some of the books out there that are in English, obviously, then that would be helpful. And you'd pick your favorite two, you know, or three, and just kind of read them. And that would give you a guidance to kind of a bit what is going on. You'll see a general theme.
So far, I've gotten, you got two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Right. That's an old saying. So yeah, that's an old
listen
saying.
Listen twice as much as you speak.
Right. Yeah. It's an old English proverb.
Yeah.
There's truth to that. It's kind of like saying your actions.
Oh, I'm sure it is. You know, it's
your actions speak louder than words. That's another one. I'm a big believer in that one. Your actions do speak louder than your words. You can,
oh, for sure.
You can tell by somebody how they act better than what they say. You tend to not ignore people what they say, but you don't put it as much up on the pedestal than their actions, because their actions do. They speak so much.
Yeah, you just got to take time to watch them.
Oh, sure.
See what,
and that goes into with, you know, you have two ears and one mouth, you know.
Yeah, I guess there's a reason for that too,
right? You know,
so okay, well, I forgot already what's this last one about?
That Stoic rules to conquer the day.
Oh, okay, all right, I haven't heard this, so
And this is the last one, too.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, make it short today.
Yeah. Well, it's an hour long. We've been so far. Hour and 4 minutes. Almost 5 minutes now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've been going for a while, Bill.
Yeah. Huh.
It goes quick.
Yeah, when you're having fun, time flies. Yeah. That's a stoic thing there.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was kind of like, you know, we were outside for a little bit and getting our rain, so we're kind of like bean sprouts sprouting up, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's do it to it and see what happens.
Enough is enough. How long will you allow the potential inside you to lie dormant? Do not allow another day to pass without being able to say, I gave it my all. You can't get out of bed when you say you will. You call this freedom? Take care with the next 24 hours. Treat each one as if it were the highest gift you could receive. We are not spending time. We are spending our life. The fastest way to grow as a human being is to stop complaining. The more difficult an undertaking, the greater rewards you will reap from doing it. Just focus on today, handle what is in front of you, and watch your anxiety dissipate. Tomorrow's troubles are not yet your concern. To go on living like everyone else, what is the point? Life is but the flicker of a light in an eternity of darkness. Use it up while you still can. Be extraordinary. Whatever arises for you, welcome it with open arms. This is your fate. The task now is to extract the good from it. The man who knows where he is going will always win the race against the man who doesn't. Before beginning each day, ask yourself how you would like to feel at the end of it. Your abilities are determined by how well you can focus. Distractions will limit you. Stop selling yourself short. Today will be the day where external things will not get the better of you. You will choose strength over weakness, courage over cowardice, virtue over vice. No matter what they do to you, they cannot take away your ability to choose how you respond. Without challenges, how would we get better? How could we ever discover the strength of which we are truly capable? If you are fighting through difficulties, it means a hero is being born. The people you encounter may be difficult, but do not let them disrupt your serenity, kindness, and grace. We are much better when we work together.
Time is fleeting. Postpone nothing. Stay present. Bring forth your best.
The Real BS Show, and, I think we got to...
Yeah, I think that's enough for today, don't you?
Yeah, I think you can close the book on this, now.
Right.
We always revisit it. But
I'm getting worn out.
Yeah, it's nap time, right?
A lot of thinking going on, you know?
Yeah.
I guess you should think more than you speak.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it needs action, but, you might need to take a nap after this.
Yeah,
right. Watch the rain fall.
The older I get, the more naps I need.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, it's summertime, it's hot, and you just do the best you can. So, anyways, till next week.
Yeah.
We'll see everybody next week.
Be safe and be good.
Yeah. Take care of yourself.